critically analyzing national affairs. This is State of the Nation with Timothy Shea and Brian McClain on today's News Talk. TNT.
This is State of the Nation on today's News Talk. For Brian McClain, I'm Timothy Shea. We are coming to you live from Central Texas and Central New York. You can visit us on the web at tntradio.live. Well, Ash, we've already been talking. We've been talking for months, and we even talked in the first hour about the two-tier system of justice and the double standard, conservatives being locked up for doing the same exact thing that progressives and radical leftists do with impunity. It's happened again. Pro-life activist Lauren Handy was sentenced today to 4 years and 9 months in prison for organizing a blockade at an abortion clinic in Washington, D.C. back in 2020. In fact, the Department of Justice wanted even more jail time for Lauren. They wanted over 6 years. We no longer have a justice system. We need to get up with the hammer and chisel, Hesh, over the portal to the Supreme Court where it says equal justice under law and carve in unequal justice under lawfare.
Yeah, it's just such a stark reality, Timothy. You know, anyone who can sort of divorce themselves from their biases and their identity politic that they may hold and their worldview and just look at what our legal system is supposed to be, which you're talking about right there with that statue, and see that it is not functioning. It is not functioning the way that it is supposed to. It has been corrupted. It has been tweaked. It has been morphed into this odious machine of hatred, political hatred.
It absolutely has been. And speaking of odious machines, once again, the radical climate deniers, the people that think that human activity, animal activity is warming the planet, they've demonized cattle. Well, they got a bit of bad news today because a study came out saying instead of contributing to climate change, cattle may actually decrease emissions. This is because they're looking at a cow the same way they look at a coal-fired electric plant, right? Which, by the way, is where most electricity for these green vehicles comes from.
Yeah.
So that's not the way a cow works. A cow interacts with its environment. An electrical plant doesn't. Cows eat grasses and other forage. And the more they eat, the beauty of grass, I mean, this is just the genius of creation, right? You eat the grass from the top, well, it doesn't kill the plant because the grass grows from the bottom. So the more the cattle eat, the more grass grows. The more grass grows, the more carbon is sequestered. Cattle are actually a net negative carbon footprint, Hesh.
I can't believe we have to even explain this. I mean, we're quite literally listening to people telling us that they're doing science, right, about cows and their so-called carbon footprint. Yeah, right. They're essentially, forgive the graphic here, but they're taking a cow fart in a vacuum and looking at how much CO2 might be involved in it while completely disregarding, as you just pointed out very eloquently, the entire system of systems, you know, planetary, vegetative life, all that stuff that you know, herds of cow are actually involved in and affecting in various different ways. So, you know, it's kind of like the whole fossil fuel thing. It's just like, why are we still calling this fossil fuel when anyone with, you know, the sense knows that this is an abiotic process that has nothing to do with driving our cars around on, you know, Barney Rubble's bones?
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is drive past a swamp in summertime to realize that biomatter decays before it could possibly be turned into gas or oil. And just last hour, our last guest, we were talking about the downside of AI and the downside of technology. Well, it happened again. They spent a ridiculous number of millions of dollars trying to connect the globe, Hesh. They put these big big circular video screens in New York City and in Dublin with cameras so that people in Dublin could see people in New York and people in New York could see people in Dublin. And Well, one of the newcomers in Dublin heckled New Yorkers by holding his iPhone up, showing the planes going into the Twin Towers. Thank you, Irish newcomers. Well, not to be outdone, an OnlyFans model in New York City, quite a buxom model, responded to the Twin Towers with Twin Peaks. That's right. She pulled up her tank top and exposed the triple D's, wiggled around, and had a good time. And the people running the project decided, yeah, maybe we better shut this down.
I don't even know what to say to that. I don't even know.
I couldn't make up that story if I was on contract.
Wow. Just wow. With that many people starving on the streets and all this violence, you know, do you really want to put world cams up also? My goodness. You funnel those tens of millions of dollars to something that matters. Goodness gracious.
Didn't this already end badly like 4 or 5 years ago when they tried doing it in Hollywood with different cameras? You could say something to an actor or something and people were just, you could interact with an actor. It was one of these live art type things that ended badly. I just, people can't learn from their mistakes, I guess. Hash, that's the take home message.
Yeah.
But this is why you listen to TNT Radio, right? So why not give us a follow? We're on all the major social platforms, including Facebook, X, the Gram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk, TNT.
Abroad or at home, this is your news.
By staying silent, we are part of the problem.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We had an amazing week in Wildwood, New Jersey. It was absolutely wild in Wildwood. And here to discuss is our very good friend and expert commentator with his prescient analysis, Gene Valentino. Gene, welcome back to State of the Nation.
Analysis, thank you for having me, but you went from odious machines to Twin Peaks. Now, I want to sprinkle a little salt on one of those two and bite right in, but I got to tell you guys threw me the curveball in our relationship that you want me to go into the Trump trial and talk about Cohen and all this stuff going on. You left me on Twin Peaks and I'm here in a lather in Studio B here in Pensacola, Florida. Okay, you want to talk about Cohen? I think it's an end of what was a non-trial. I think Cohen, if that's all they've got, that prosecution, then I think it's just a matter of how quickly Trump can file paperwork for a refund on his legal claims and legal fees, I should say, that he's incurred up to now sitting through this debacle of nonsense. I was being objective and holding out to hope that the prosecution had more credibility than they have in bringing forward formidable evidence that would have linked Trump to something material in the election process. But there was nothing there. We're talking about a 2016 campaign. There's nothing there, folks. I think we are about to see the unraveling on several criminal charges in the broader sense. Fannie Willis, we can come back to some other time. Officials down at the Georgia elections officials admit that the elections in 2020 were a fraud based on evidence. Not worth getting into now. Back on, but it's consistent with what you started with, and that's a pattern developing here that's broader that I think lends itself to some observation. Here's an observation for you. So Mr. Biden, I resist calling him President Biden. While all this is going on with Cohen and claims as to what degree Trump might be culpable in a New York court, Mr. Biden turns around and in the quiet of the day, brings on stiff new tariffs against China on Chinese cars. as a way of maybe getting him to show he's concerned about the bad economic numbers. Oh, wait a minute. It was Biden who, after he took office about 3.5 years ago, said he was getting rid of all those tariffs that Trump had already had in place on China that were working. Might it be the three D's again, guys? Divert, deflect, and distract. I don't want you thinking my henchmen in New York are doing a bad job against Trump. So I'm going to divert your attention again with another Hail Mary at the 11th hour. And that's the imposition of tariffs on China. As James Carville, an old Democrat, would say, Biden is stuck in a ditch with the voters under 30 years of age. And so the only thing I think that remains that's really worthy of this issue today is how far did the Democrats go under the Biden administration in getting Democrat Party registration forms in place for these illegal aliens to fill out and secure some level of voting consistency or voting existence to be able to vote legitimately in the respective village or town they've ended up in. The 9 to 12 million illegal aliens have how many capable voters that will be the Hail Mary from Joe Biden while we're talking about Michael Cohen in a courtroom today? In parallel, we've got how many voter registration application forms that were given to the illegals coming over the line, along with some cash, a debit card, a cell phone. Yeah.
And well, exactly, Gene. Exactly. And let's just, before we run out of time, let's compare and contrast this situation to what it looks like when Trump actually makes an appearance. Let's take a moment here and just look at the crowd. Roll that clip of the crowd real quick. Jersey showing support for Trump while all this insanity is going on in the background. What do you make of the crowd there? Pretty big crowd, right?
That's the reports were 100,000. They didn't count the blocks and blocks of people who remained in line with portable TVs or iPhones or iPads that they watched from out in the blocks. That never got into the general area. It's a historic first. I don't think, and this was in blue country, right? This was in New Jersey, and New Jersey was on the fence. You had a congressman there who left the Democrat Party and became Republican. You have what percentage of those people out there will be voters? And will there be the silent majority, that tsunami we talked about, Hesh, that will overrun 9 million illegal voters that may be voting Democrat for Biden? Will the crowd in that video overtake any aggressive actions on the part of this administration to bring voters desperately into the voting booth because they don't have the support of the American people? Desperation at the 11th hour.
Yeah, one can only hope that they will, Gene. In fact, the definitive meme came out today. Somebody took a screenshot of that immense crowd and clipped it to the outlines of the United States and had kind of a space edge view from Florida all the way out to Washington State, kind of at an angle of the country. And they overlaid that crowd on it and said Trump had a rally this weekend. And that's pretty much it. Every single state, even deep blue states like New Jersey, like New York, like Massachusetts, His support is unbelievable. And unlike 2020, people are no longer embarrassed to say that they're supporting him. Give you the last word.
I noticed that. Yeah, I noticed that. Even CNN, one of the other media outlets, has sobered up a little. And I think they've announced recently through some of their reporting that you can no longer overlook the obvious. The obvious is what Timothy, you and Brian have just reported. And that's the size of just one crowd at one event. There's three primaries going on today. We'll find out what that looks like. There's supposed to be gimmies for Donald Trump. I think they're going to be disappointments for Joe Biden, but we'll see. And I think we have the door swinging back the other way. I think the American people, that silent majority we talk about, is bigger, bolder, and stronger than we give credit for. And yes, the courtroom has very, in God we trust, and justice is supposed to be blind. And I think that's the fundamental principle of our third leg of our government, our judiciary, that we cannot abandon while we work
hard.
We
absolutely can't abandon it. We're going to have to leave it there. And for one, here's hoping that that door swings right back into the teeth of these people who hate America and are trying to destroy us. Gene, thanks again for another great hit on today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's Jason Burmess.
I'm not so sure that guy even took the shot. I mean, listen, again, I'm not saying he didn't. I don't have any inside info, but Chris Cuomo has lied about so many things to your face. I want everybody to think about this for a second. So many things to your face, including when the WikiLeaks documents of the DNC email dumps came through. He looked America straight in the eye and said you weren't allowed to read them, and that the media and he was, because it's different for them. You should never trust this man again. If you do, you are literally acting like a battered girlfriend that keeps going back to Johnny Rotten Sauce. You understand what I'm saying here?
Jason Burmess on today's News Talk, TNT.
It's time to switch on
today's News Talk Radio.
Very entertaining.
Yeah! TNT.
More uncertain than ever after the social media company sued the U.S. government on Tuesday over a law that would force Chinese parent company ByteDance to sell the app or face a national ban. I'm not quite sure what that is, but maybe our next guest can elucidate for us. But let's start with a clip before we bring in our friend Amy Peacock.
To Julia Boorstin regarding some news developing around TikTok. Julia, what are we learning here?
Well, Scott, TikTok has sued the U.S. government, saying that the ban that the U.S. government is imposing violates the First Amendment. They also say that invoking national security concerns is not a good enough reason to restrict this free speech for the 170 million Americans they say are on the platform. I just want to mention two key things here from this lawsuit. They say that the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act is unconstitutional, and that banning TikTok is, quote, so obviously unconstitutional, in fact, that even the act sponsors recognize that reality and have tried mightily to depict the law not as a ban at all, but as a regulation of TikTok's ownership. They go on to say that there's no choice to divest TikTok. They say the qualified divestiture demanded by the act to allow TikTok to continue operating in the United States is simply not possible, not commercially, not technologically, not legally, and certainly not on the 270-day timeline required by the act. So what they're saying here is that the option of divesting is not really an option. This is, in effect, a ban, and that is the underlying argument here in this lawsuit against the U.S. government. Back over to you.
All right, Julia, I appreciate that. So TikTok says essentially leave us alone. And
Amy Peacock is the chief policy officer at BitChute, and she joins us now. Amy, what do you think about this dispute? Is there a First Amendment issue here? What do you think?
Amendment issue in the filing, which was a week ago, right on May 7th, TikTok argued that it's a First Amendment issue not only for the 170 million users on the platform who are expressing themselves, and there's 170 million American users, right, who are expressing themselves and connecting with people worldwide, et cetera, but also for TikTok itself. And that's sort of a controversial argument that we've seen social media companies make recently, that their use of selective curation algorithms is itself expressive and protected by the First Amendment. So you have First Amendment interests not only of the users, but also of the platform itself. So there's that. And they plead very well in the filing, both the fact, their position that they think that it should be tried under strict scrutiny analysis, because they think that the act that bans TikTok is so discriminatory against TikTok in particular and against the expressive content of its own users that it deserves that category, that degree of scrutiny by the court. And, even if not, they even talk about the fact that they don't believe that this act would survive an intermediate scrutiny standard as well. So I think it's a strong First Amendment claim.
It's going to be using the First Amendment ultimately to support social media companies being able to censor their users, because if they have a First Amendment right to use their algorithms, well, their algorithms censor us. I mean, I've lost 3 Twitter accounts. I've been permanently nuked off of Facebook and Instagram. That's all because they were exercising their community standards.
There's a difference here, right? So this brief is written on the idea that it's just TikTok making its own private expressive decisions in deciding to, you know, increase the engagement and the reach of a particular piece of content and throttle, say, another piece of content, right? But what you're talking about most likely, Timothy, I think, is the sort of Murphy versus Missouri, or Missouri versus Biden was what we originally knew the case right? Where the government is colluding with the social media platforms to remove the content. That's a whole different animal.
That is a whole different animal, but what I'm talking about is Mark Zuckerberg interfering in the 2020 election by nuking me off the platform. Okay, that wasn't, whether the government was involved is a separate issue, but these social media companies can use this TikTok case as precedent. If a court does rule that they have a First Amendment right to their algorithm, they could use that as a precedent to deny us our First Amendment rights, which I just find kind of Kafka-esque.
Well, in reality, you don't have First Amendment rights against private corporations, though. And
but they've availed themselves of the public, infrastructure. Okay. They want to have it both ways. They want to have the protections that they
have.
So
what is the public infrastructure? And then we can have that debate about whether the public infrastructure should be okay, but should the internet actually be public or is it a private? So these are discussions.
It's a DARPA program. Yeah.
So should it be a DARPA program, right? You know, at the end of the day, we could go back to whether the roads should be public or private. We do currently have some private roads, but mostly public roads. People believe that all of them should be private, et cetera. So that's a different debate. But arguably, the censorship that Zuckerberg was doing in the lead up to the election also involved government. And so it's that intertwined between government and Facebook. Sure. I'm really interested to see what the Supreme Court says about this in June when the ruling comes out.
Yeah,
that's going to be a critical ruling as this moves forward, certainly. Now, what about the idea of a ban? I'm still trying to understand how to frame this, you know, legally, constitutionally, like in legal terms. Actually, I tell you what, I'm going to ask you that after this inbound headline. So we'll take that answer right after this headline with today's News Talk TNT.
Now. now.
News.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Former President Donald Trump commented outside a Manhattan criminal court regarding his ongoing hush money trial, emphasizing his innocence. Lieutenant General Yuri Kudasov, head of the main personnel directorate of the Russian Defense Ministry, has been arrested and charged with accepting a large-scale bribe. An accident in Marion County, Florida, involving a retired school bus carrying farm workers and a pickup truck, resulted in 8 fatalities and 40 injuries, according to the Florida Highway Patrol.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
At Parler, and Parler has experienced, you know, Timothy's experienced being deleted. I've experienced it. Well, Parler experienced it also, but it was done in a completely different fashion. It was more like your services all came after you and shut you guys out. So what do you make of Congress getting together and deciding they're going to ban this platform? And how do you compare that to the way that Parler was attacked?
So with Parler, you know, they didn't have any national security or foreign adversary owned, you know, excuse to try to push something through like this. Maybe if they did, they would have tried it then. Who knows? I'm not sure. But with Parler, I'm not sure that we're ever going to know what happened, because I don't know if you know, recently Parliament, which was the parent company of Parler, filed bankruptcy. And as part of that, it was revealed in the filing that they settled with Amazon. And so I'm very skeptical as to whether we're ever going to know the truth of whether there was government involvement in that deplatforming, right? But, you know, with respect to TikTok, some people have been arguing about whether this is actually a ban or whether it's not. They say, well, it's not a ban because all they have to do is divest. And as you heard in the clip that you played earlier, they made this three-prong argument that this divestiture, that they say, oh, you can just do this in 270 days, that it's not practical commercially or technologically or legally. And in the filing, they go through each of these in detail. And again, having had the experience at Parler where we had to rebuild the entire thing, right, from the ground up, in the absence of certain dependencies that we had on Amazon, we had the experience, or I had the experience of watching how hard it is to do that. And what they would be asking TikTok to do is to rebuild their entire application by January of next year, removing certain dependencies on the ByteDance infrastructure. And I believe them completely that technologically, there's just no way to do that in 270 days. And, you know, keep in mind with Parler, what I saw, which took months, was a very simple app compared to what TikTok is. It's a very complex app with a lot of functionality.
And aren't they correct in their argument that Chinese law does not permit such divestiture?
No, indeed. And it's that certain technology, namely this unique recommendation algorithm that is this intellectual property of ByteDance, Chinese government will prohibit it being shared with us the same way that United States prohibits the divestiture of certain U.S. technology to China, right? This is just part of their law. So it is a ban. And to pretend that it's not a ban, when you actually understand what would be involved in doing what the act requires, it's just a farce. It really is. So I would predict that this is not going to be upheld as constitutional. And I haven't seen any motion for some sort of an immediate injunction. What they've done at the end, of course, is they do ask for an injunction. They ask for a declaration that this is an unconstitutional piece of legislation and an injunction against the Attorney General enforcing it. But there's no immediate request for that, of course, because it's not supposed to go into effect until January of next year.
All right. Well, so how long do we have our TikToks? Do we get to use it all the way till next year? Is it going to last through the election, or are they going to shut it, remove it from the App Store? I mean, how does this happen?
So you just made me think of something else. And in the filing, they note that, of course, Joe Biden has still kept his TikTok there. And many of the politicians who have supported this ban, this act, they still are keeping their TikToks active. And you're right that what they've done is they've made it exactly long enough so that they can keep using their TikTok through, right, the election, and then rip it out after January. How convenient for them. How revealing of what they truly think of the platform, that they find it valuable in communicating with potential voters. Yes?
Yeah, there are no coincidences, right?
Yeah, not at all. Can I tell you one more thing? Do we have time for one
ahead.
More tidbit? So the other tidbit is that in this legislation, they actually require that TikTok, if requested to by the user, hand over all of the user data from TikTok in a form that can be taken over to TikTok's competitors at Meta or whatever. Now, of course, Meta was known for all its lobbying activity in the quarter leading up to this legislation being passed. So you kind of wonder whether part of the motivation of this was Facebook, who has, you know, been very cozy with the government, saying, hey, you know, we scratch your back, you scratch ours. Maybe you could do something with TikTok and make sure, of course, that they have to give the users the data in a portable format that they can bring over to us as they go out the door.
Wow. So yeah, I could see it. I can see it now, you know, Zuckerberg, like, oh, my Instagram is just going to port all, you know, 170 million people's worth of, you know, private data, people that have since, you know, long since abandoned any Meta platforms. And that's sort of like, that's almost a reverse transfer of technology. It's a reverse transfer of big data, which would go to Meta and, you know, who knows who else, probably NSA and
once it goes to Meta, it's going to go to the FTC and the DOJ. At least I so argued back in 2019-20. So I think a lot of this is about data envy. So much of this is about data envy and also about the control and manipulation tactics that they think truly exist through the algorithms. They think you and I are stupid, that we don't think for ourselves, and whatever the algorithm presents to us, we're going to accept as gospel.
Yeah.
Well, they've got another thing coming.
Yeah, that's right. We are not, and it is not. In our last couple minutes here, Amy, Elon Musk, he's, you know, taking this combative approach, you know, as Brazil, India, and Australia have, you know, done takedown requests. Any breaking thoughts on Elon Musk and X's battle for free speech?
I mean, one of the strongest arguments that he's made that I've loved was what he said to Australia, which was Australia, as you know, tried to tell him that they had to take down the video of the stabbing in the church in Australia and take it down, not only a geo block for Australia, but worldwide, that they weren't supposed to show it, on the idea that, yeah, people can get a VPN and then they can access something that's geo blocked in Australia, which is true. Right. But Musk brings up a great point, which is if one government can dictate whether a piece of content can appear anywhere in the world, then in principle, that's not any different than one country's government controlling the entire internet. And in principle, it's not, right? I mean, where would you draw the line along that slippery slope?
Yeah, exactly. And this is why people resist globalism, and more people are rushing to resist globalism right now. We talked also about the WHO pandemic accords and, you know, things like this. These are things that just abjectly do not fit with sovereign countries and People are waking up to that, Amy, and that is a good thing. And if you want to wake up a little bit more, make sure you follow Amy Peikoff on X.com at Amy Peikoff. That's P-E-I-K-O-F-F. And go to don'tletitgo.com. And, of course, keep up with all she does over there at BitChute and PodChute, of course, on the main BitChute channel. Amy, any final thoughts before we have to let you go?
Yeah, check out the pod shoots because I've actually got a trifecta of pundits. Last week I had Gateway Pundit. This week I have Insta Pundit. And then next week I've got Vodka Pundit.
All right. Well, sign us up for the Vodka Pundit one because it's going to be that kind of week, Amy. All right.
Yeah, they're Wednesdays.
Get on over there.
Okay,
excellent. Thanks so much, Amy Peikoff, for joining us here on State of the Nation. This is today's News Talk, TNT.
I'm Cal Fire Battalion Chief Isaac Sanchez. And normally we like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourselves and your family safe during wildfires. But given the historic impacts that the weather has had on our state this year, we would like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourself safe during extreme weather. If you reside in an area susceptible to flooding, please take the necessary steps to prepare to evacuate if advised. Make sure you've identified at least two exit routes out of your neighborhood, as one of them may be blocked or flooded. As the weather develops, remember to check in on vulnerable neighbors and family members. They may need additional time to prepare for evacuation. And just like during a wildfire, if you feel unsafe, please evacuate. You don't have to wait for the order to come. Keep an emergency go bag ready in case you need to evacuate. And always remember to plan for the safety of your pets as well. If you must leave, never drive around roadblocks. It can take as little as 12 inches of water to sweep your vehicle away. And always remember the mantra, turn around, don't drown. Be aware of first responders working in highly impacted areas, especially on the roads. For additional safety tips and updates on CAL FIRE activities, follow us on social media or visit fire.ca.gov.
Internet crimes against children in New Mexico are real. And when it comes to protecting your children, the New Mexico AG's office and the ICAC unit are on the front lines. I'm New Mexico Attorney General Hector Balderas. There's nowhere to hide for online predators in New Mexico. We are working tirelessly using state-of-the-art technology and resources to seek out and find them wherever they are. Please talk to your children about the dangers that exist online, social media, games, and messenger apps. It's always important to know who you're talking to.
Help fight online predators in New Mexico by submitting a tip today.
The conversation continues with State of the Nation's Brian McLean and Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT.
Too many Americans believe that the American dream is dead, or at least unattainable. A former Vietnamese refugee turned United States Navy captain in Special Operations, Hung Cao, is living proof that neither of those beliefs are true. Joining us now to discuss his campaign for United States Senate in Virginia is retired United States Navy Captain Hung Cao. Captain Cao, welcome back to State of the Nation.
Timmy, thank you so much for having me.
And for those who aren't aware, in the United States Navy, a captain is the equivalent of a full bird colonel in the other branches. When you came to America, why don't you tell us first how your family came to this country and what prompted you and what motivated you to attain one of the highest positions in the United States Navy?
Oh, thank you for that question. So I came here as a refugee in 1975. We actually came here, then we moved to West Africa, and I came back here to learn English at the age of 12. And I went to the top high school in the United States called Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology. I went to the United States Naval Academy. I earned a bachelor's in engineering, and I went to Naval Postgraduate School where I earned a master's in physics. And I had fellowships at Harvard and MIT. But you know what? I paid back every single dime of that American dream with 25 years of service in Navy Special Operations. I was a Navy deep sea diver who recovered John F. Kennedy Jr., his wife, and his sister-in-law, as well as other aircrafts that crashed in the ocean. And I defused bombs for our SEAL teams and Special Forces teams in Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia. So I wanted my service to pay back this great country for everything it gave me.
Well, you've...
It's an amazing story.
Well, you've done Absolutely. That and more. I was on Martha's Vineyard when that plane went down. Lauren was a college friend of mine. And my cousin was at the time the vice commandant of the Coast Guard. So I know just how tough that recovery mission was. In 25 years of service is outstanding. And I think you more than paid back the cost of your education. And now you're looking to give back even more, running for United States Senate against the guy I like to make Grinch memes out of, Tim Kaine.
Yeah, so, you know, my last combat deployment was to Afghanistan in 2021. And when we left there, it was stable. And then 6 months later, Joe Biden comes in and completely allows that to fall apart. And, you know, watching mothers hand babies to Marines, I mean, that just brought me back to Vietnam. And so I retired and I run for U.S. Congress in the 10th Congressional District in Virginia. So that includes Loudoun County, which, if you know, the school board there was attacking parents. Yep. And so we didn't win, but doggone it, we moved the heck out of that needle. That's where Joe Biden won by 19 points. And I took it down to 6 points. I overperformed President Trump and Glenn Youngkin, the governor here in that area. And so that's why they asked me to run for U.S. Senate, because Tim Kaine is very vulnerable this year. And we need to win back the Senate so that they don't pack the courts, so they don't do anything that will destroy our country for good.
That would do it. Packing the courts is one of the things that has a lot of conservative Americans and independents and libertarians and center right, center left people very concerned, especially because, I mean, for the last 4 years or so, the Supreme Court is sort of only one of the only places where we're still seeing some sort of justice that, you know, it seems to, as my co-host, my wonderful co-host here, Timothy, would say, fits inside of the Constitution.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. But I'm worried about who they would put up there, right? We have a woman who was born of a woman, who bore a woman, who can't tell you what a woman is. And it's frightening that just the intellectual dishonesty of these people that come into office.
That's absolutely correct. It's a perfect expression for it, intellectual dishonesty. And what would you do? Brian referenced my overarching political dream, my fantasy, which is to finally have a United States government that fits inside the Constitution. What will Senator Hung Hao do to help make that a reality?
Well, the first thing we need is, honestly, is term limits. And this, you know, I mean, I don't want to die in Congress. You do your term and get out, and then you kind of reap the benefits or the negative benefits you've legislated on the people of the United States. And the other thing is, they shouldn't get rich in Congress. I mean, you contrast me with Tim Kaine, right? Both of us had a government paycheck for 30 years, and all he has is millions to show for it, and all I have is scars. So you tell me who served this country and who fought for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, great point. And of course, you know, the border is such a huge issue right now. And when we look at the people in the Senate and the people in the Congress, we're not seeing what we've been promised. It's just not there. We're seeing hundreds of billions of dollars go to foreign wars, and absolutely, it's not that nothing is happening on the southern border and in all our borders and ports of entry, for that matter, and beaches, Zodiac boats, you know, showing up on beaches with a bunch of ninjas coming off of them. I mean, it's an absolute mess, and they're funding it. Our government is actually paying for it. They give the IOM, the U.S. government gives the IOM, they gave them $92 million, I think, in 2022. And now it's just up to untold billions, like $4.6 billion a year, to support the invasion of our country. I mean, how frustrating is that to see everybody on Capitol Hill just folding to this?
No, absolutely. Especially if someone like me, my family waited 7 years for our citizenship. My dad was so proud. The last thing he had hanging over his bed 2 years ago before he passed away was his naturalization certificate. That's how proud we are of being Americans. And these guys just come over and they get a $5,000 gift card, they get a plane ticket anywhere, and a cell phone. And not only that, they're trampling all of our lands, they're destroying our fields, and they don't care. They don't love America the way we did. And as someone who came here legally, I'm telling you right now, don't come to America if you're not willing to obey the American laws and embrace the American culture and assimilate. You want the American dream, you have to assimilate. I love this country so much, I put my life online for it.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the least we can ask people to do is to go down to the voting booth and pull the lever, as we used to say, or, you know, mark the ballot for Senator Hung Cao in the Virginia primary.
Yes, sir. The primary is on the 18th, and I invite everybody to go to hungforva.com. That's H-U-N-G-F-O-R-V-A.com. Look, I'll fight your battles every day. I'll get your voice out there, but I need ammunition. I don't mind getting, you know, I've been blown up. I've been shot at. I don't care. What are they going to do to me? But the thing is, I need ammunition to fight back. And the only way to get your message out there is to commercials. And Tim Kaine has $13 million. So I'm asking you guys to donate. I don't care if it's $5, $10. It doesn't matter. The thing is, don't forget, comrade Bernie Sanders was able to mass $200 million from $20 increments. So we can do this and we can win this country back. And I will fight every single day for you guys.
Absolutely. And I'm guessing you're not going to sit and, you know, stand by while a globalist initiative like the WHO tries to get our government to sign on to a pandemic accord or treaty or whatever they're going to call this piece of garbage that flies in the face of our Constitution.
No, we are Americans. We don't listen to anybody else. They listen to us. Things like NATO, WHO. You know what NATO stands for? It says needs Americans to operate. You know, they need us. We don't need them. Likewise with WHO, they don't tell us what to do. We tell them what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have a new book coming out on June 11th. It's called Call Me an American. Give us a little preview of what we're going to see when we get our pre-ordered copies.
No, thank you so much for that. So my wife and I wrote it. And in fact, she wrote it. It's just my thoughts and my memories. It's just, as an engineer and physicist, everything's linear and I prefer graphs and bullet points. So she made it more palatable for the reader. But it's called Call Me an American because in 22, when I ran for U.S. Congress, the woman kept calling me everything from an extremist to a threat to democracy. And recently, Tim Kaine even called me a Nazi, you know, and I told her, I was like, listen, I earned the right to be called an American and you need to call me an American. And so that's why we named the book that way. But also it's a call to arms. It's really, it's everything that makes this country great. Meritocracy. It's about, you know, the American dream. And it's also about failing. You know, there's a lot of stories in my life where I failed, but I was able to bounce back and get stronger. And that's what America is all about. I mean, we invented the assembly line. We invented the plane. We put a man on the moon. We can do a lot of things as long as the government gets out of our way.
You know, we see those people don't like you because you weren't a Vietnamese communist. If you'd been Viet Cong, you would have been their poster boy. You'd have $13 million for ads and you'd be a shoo-in. So, yeah, absolutely. $5, $10, $20, $100 donations can really tip the balance. So go to hungforva.com and help them out if you can.
No, thank you so much for that plug. Again, I'm willing to fight for you guys. I've done it for 25 years. I'm not going to stop now. Because, you know, I know what it's like to wake up without a country to call my own or flag to stand under. And I'll be damned if that happens to your children, my children, or our grandchildren.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people across the nation are getting it. You know, everybody's concerned about the, you know, vote integrity and vote fraud and all these things. But, you know, and that is something we have to overcome. But I mean, We were speaking earlier about the, you know, the Latino vote and the Asian vote. Those are two groups of votes that comprise so many different cultures and so many different, you know, families of origin and so many different, like your father, like you, legal immigrants to this country. I mean, are you seeing that? We see that in a black population here in the United States as well. It seems like they're all kind of, you know, a percentage of them seem to be walking away from the lies of the Uniparty and the Democrat Party in particular.
No, we saw that in 22. That's how I moved that needle 13%, because they saw themselves in me. They saw their children in me. They saw their grandchildren in me. They saw the American dream in me. And that's why people from all walks of life came out to vote for us in 2022. I moved that needle 13%. It's huge in a very blue district. And we can do it again. And I don't have to win Northern Virginia. I just need to move the needle. And then the South will come out and we will win this seat back from Tim Kaine, who's just all he is just a rubber stamp for Joe Biden.
Well, we wish you well in the primary. So the primary is going to be June 18th. The book is out on the 11th. Call Me an American. And get yourself a book and then get down to the polling place in Virginia and vote. I know I'm going to be telling all my good Virginians to do exactly that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, again, we're not the Democrats where you don't have to be part of the state to vote. But yeah, get your Virginian friends to come out to vote.
It's going to be, if Virginia can flip itself red, I mean, that would be big, right, for conservatives everywhere. I mean, so, you don't have to live in Virginia to support a campaign like this. How important is that to reach out, people like yourself, to reach out to people across the nation, to let the whole nation know that you need their support? I mean, that's an opportunity that is somewhat new in politics.
No, you're absolutely right. So you can't vote for me, but I can vote for you, because my vote in Congress will affect every American. And I'm telling you right now that we have to fight back, and every dime counts. And I've gotten donations from all 50 states. I amassed $2.5 million from about 35,000 donors. So, as the Asian in the room, let me do the math for you. It's about $88 per donation. And so that's the grassroots right there. And we need to get everybody out there to vote and then donate also, because like I said, I'll fight for you every single day, but you need to help me so I can get your voice out there.
And where does Tim Kaine's money come from? Does Tim Kaine's?
Okay. Soros and Bill Gates. Yeah.
Yeah, all the not usual surprised. Suspects, right?
Yeah, right.
So yeah. I know I'm putting the cart ahead of the horse a little bit here, Hung, but let's look forward to the general against Tim Kaine. What are you going to be able to do under the new Virginia election laws to combat the dreaded 11:30 p.m. Loudoun County, Fairfax County ballot drop, when they wait for the rest of the state so they can see how many votes the Democrat needs? And then, what do you know? That's what Loudoun and Fairfax came in with.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's always the fear. The great part about Virginia is that every vote has to be, there's always a paper vote for everything, not just a thumb drive full of votes. So, we have to have the actual votes there. But honestly, they can only cheat so much, right? I mean, if they put out 15 million votes and there's only 6 million voters in Virginia, then we know something's wrong. So they can only cheat so much. And that's why I'm asking for everybody, if we come out and inundate them, only half of our populace votes. And it's a tragedy, because Arlington National Cemetery is full of men and women who died for our right to vote. So I'm asking every Virginian to step out there and vote. That is your civic duty. And if we get out there and vote, I'm telling you right now, we're going to show a huge red wave in Virginia.
That's a great point. I love that you used civic duty. We've gotten away from that whole notion that there are civic duties. People always focus on their rights. They never even bother to consider that they also have responsibilities. And that's a big part of citizenship, is serving on the jury, going to vote, speaking up when it matters.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, during World War II, we had, metal drives, aluminum drives, everything else. We did our civic duty to help the country move along. And it's time now to do your civic duty and vote, because we can't stay silent anymore. If we stay silent, I'm telling you right now, we will lose this country. And I've been to 40 countries in my lifetime. And if America fails, there's nowhere else for us to run to.
Well, Hung, I can't think of anybody I would rather have on the battlements up in D.C. in the United States Senate representing the great Commonwealth of Virginia than you, especially if you get to replace Tim Kaine. That would just be the ultimate flip of a seat. Again, folks, it's Hung, H-U-N-G, for VA.com. The book is Call Me an American. It's out June 11th. And my good Virginians, get out there on the 18th and vote for Hung Cao in the primary. Hung, we're going to have you back to discuss both the book and your continued campaign after your success in the primary. That's it for tonight's State of the Nation. For Brian McLean, I'm Timothy Shea. Until next time, stay tuned for the Jason Burma Show right here on TNT. God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.